So this is Adiraga chapter 6, chapter entitled Liberation of Savabhu Bhattacharya, continuing the story of the Chaitanya meeting Savabhu Bhattacharya. This is today's verse is text 78 and 79. Sorry, text 77 and 78. सुनी गोपीनाथ मुकुंद देहे देखी हाइला गोपीनाथ आचार्य की जो कहता लगीला गोपीनाथ आचार्य एंड मुकुंद दादा बिकेम वेरी अनहैप्पी व्हेन दे हर्ड दिस गोपीनाथ आचार्य देयरफॉर एड्रेस सर्वभूम भट्टाचार्य एज फॉलोज भट्टाचार्य तुम्हें इन्हारा ना जन्म नाहिमा भट्ट भागवत लक्षण सिवा माई डियर भट्टाचार्य यू डू नॉट नो द ग्रेटनेस ऑफ लॉर्ड चैतन्य महाप्रभु ऑल द सिम्टम्स ऑफ द सुप्रीम पर्सनालिटी ऑफ गॉड आर फाउंड इन हिम ही इज द हाई इन टू द हाईएस्ट डिग्री ऑफ परफेक्ट डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्त स्वामी प्रभुपाद सिंस भट्टाचार्य वॉज एन इम्पर्सनलिस्ट He had no idea of the absolute truth beyond the personal effulgence. However, Gopinath Acharya informed him that Lord Chaitanya was the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Those who know the absolute truth know it in three phases as explained in Srimad Bhagavatam, 10.1, chapter 2, text 11. Vedanti tattva vidha tattvam jnananam advayam Brahmameti, Brahmameti, Bhagwaniti, Sabjate. Those who are in knowledge of the non-dual absolute truth know very clearly that know very clearly what is Brahman, what is Paramatma, and what is Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is Sada, Aishwarya, Purna. Sada, Aishwarya, Purna. Complete with six opulences. Gopinath Acharya emphasized that all those six opulences were completely existing in Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Om Jnana Chamanandasya Jnananjana Salakaya Chakshus Mrutam Yena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha Panchakalpa Trubhyasya Kripa Sindhu Bhivacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavyo Namo Namaha Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare So we can understand that Gopinath Acharya was very upset. Why he was upset? Because in the previous verse it is said that Sarvabhuma Bhattacharya then suggested If Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would like, I could bring him to the highest first class Brahman. So, of course, Sarvabhuma Bhattacharya, as is mentioned here by Krishna Kaviraj Goswami, that he did not understand who is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And therefore, he thought that here is a young sannyasi, which we discussed previously. So, he is not very well known. In the scripture or conclusion of the Vedas, he is just a novice. At the same time, by the name given to him by a Mayavadi sannyasi. So, of course, according to Sarvabhuma Bhattacharya, there are different levels of understanding and impersonalist, personalist, also different categories, just like we understand. That there is, the four varnas and four ashrams. So the four varnas are the brahmanas, kshatriyas, vaishyas and shudras. But within even the brahman class, there are different categories of brahmanas. Lower class brahman, middle class brahman, upper class brahman. So this is all very materialist understanding and mundane understanding. Actually, Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Chatur Varnya Maya system, guna karma vibhagesha. That these four varnas and four ashrams are a division naturally takes place by guna and karma. So according to your karma from the previous life, you take a particular birth in a particular family. And then, of course, according to your guna, you act upon the qualities. So even if you are born in a Brahmana family, but if you have the misfortune of qualities of a Sudra, then obviously you cannot be considered a Brahmana just because you are born in a family of Brahmana. You have to qualify yourself by your characteristics, your qualities. So Sarvabhuma Bhattacharya is very much on that lower platform understanding of these different divisions of Brahmanas. And Gopinath Acharya, he actually understands that here is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He's not different from that same Vrindavan Krishna. And of course, in the Bhagavad Gita, we also understand that Krishna is speaking the Bhagavad Gita, the knowledge, the transcendental knowledge to Arjuna. Why? Krishna specifically saying, Arjuna, I am giving you this knowledge because you are my very close devotee and a friend. So, of course, when you are friends with someone, it is naturally taken that you know that person very well because of your friendship. You develop to know that person very well, the qualities, the characteristics, everything about that person. Now, here, it's not an ordinary person we're talking about. We're talking about the Supreme Personality of God, Sri Krishna. And Krishna is saying to Arjuna that because you are my devotee and a very dear friend to me, that is why I'm giving you this knowledge. And of course, only a devotee can have the same kind of loving affection to the Supreme Lord. And of course, also Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita very clearly that I reveal myself to those who are my devotees and who are actually following the process of bhakti, the love and devotion, not by jnana, not by dhyana, not by any other forms of yogas, but only bhakti yoga. Bhakti yoga, Prabhupada explains, is that which you give yourself to the Supreme Lord out of love and affection. So, Gopinath Acharya was one such devotee. He had given himself to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And of course, not by the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he understands who he is. And because Sarvabhuma Bhattacharya is telling Gopinath Acharya that if Chaitanya Mahaprabhu likes, I can upgrade him to the highest level and reinitiate him. And of course, that is kind of a real offensive mentality. Because if you think that you can upgrade someone simply by some ceremony or rituals, it is not a proper understanding or conclusion of the shastras, as we all know, that Sarvabhuma Bhattacharya was very proud of his knowledge of Vedas. So, we would conclude that he is at least a Vedantist, a very knowledgeable person, he would understand the right etiquettes and understanding. And of course, Krishna says very clearly, guna karma vibhaga, that guna and karma. So, karma you are actually born with, you know, whatever you have carried your baggage from your previous life. And due to that, you also develop some gunas, qualities. The qualities cannot change. Like there's an old saying in English, leopard spots can never change. Leopard is a leopard. No, you may dress him differently, but he's still a leopard. Or in other words, you cannot change someone's natural qualities which are given by him and he's come with you. But you can refine them. So even within Krishna consciousness, when we get to know the knowledge of Krishna consciousness and take shelter of Krishna and worship him and follow the practice of bhakti, you will be free from the three modes of material nature, ignorance, passion and goodness. But still, by nature, if you are a simple person, simple-minded person, just happy serving, then that is your quality. Although sometimes we try to take someone out of his natural environment and put him in a different environment, the person may perform that activity, but he won't be very happy in that activity. As for example, say someone is very happy in the kitchen, cleaning the pots, and very joyously doing this seva. He has no stigma about it that this is low-class job, because he says this is a transcendental service for the pleasure of the Lord. He is cleaning the pots of Lord Krishna. And when Lord Krishna's pots are cleaned, then only you can cook nice bhoga and offering can happen. If the pots are dirty, then of course Krishna is not going to get his offering, because then you can't cook in a dirty pot. Also, we understanding is very clear from the Shastra. Srila Prabhupada explains, Krishna and Krishna's paraphernalia are non-different. So even the pots in the kitchen, which are meant to be used for serving Krishna's bhoga or preparing bhoga for Krishna, are non-different from Krishna. And therefore, that person who is quite happily doing that service is joyously performing that without any feeling of that this is low class or this is high class. So he just does it out of love for Krishna. Now all of a sudden we think, okay, we are short of a pujari. Let's take him out of the kitchen, give him the second initiation, and then put him on the altar. He will receive his Brahman initiation. He will be trained in serving the lordships on the altar. Then he goes on the altar. But he won't feel the same comfort serving the Lord. He will do it out of duty, but he won't feel comfortable because that is not his nature. So we all have our particular natures. According to our nature, we act. So we are sometimes very Brahmanical. Sometimes we are, develop Kshatriya spirits of administration. Of course, I wouldn't say warfare because we are not in times of war. But at the same time, we are in a kind of war with Maya. But that is a different situation. But then, some people are quite happy doing business. And some people are simply serving. So this is natural qualities. And if you are in your natural qualities, whatever service you perform very nicely. Because you feel very comfortable doing that service. So here, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya is thinking, here is a young sannyasi, let me upgrade him. Gopinath Acharya became very upset and said, how is this possible, you are speaking about none other than the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And as Prabhupada mentions in the purport, that unfortunately, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya only had the understanding of the impersonal aspect of the Lord. He could not go beyond that. Even the Paramatma teacher in his heart, he cannot understand. And in the process of bhakti, one comes to the first level, and then second level, and then third level. Third level is actually you get full revelation of the Supreme Lord and connect with the Supreme Lord as Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now, similarly, we understand in our own experience, all of us have gone to kindergarten school, then we go to primary school, then we go to university. So you get education and a deeper and deeper sense of education as you are more and more mature in your understanding. Similarly, in the process of bhakti, Krishna reveals to us according to our capacity to understand Him. And the more and more we perform our bhakti, more and more we perform our sadhana of chanting the holy names, then purification takes place, and then the dirtiness, the clouds which are hovering in the heart are dissipated by the power of the holy name, and then you can see the clear vision of the Lord, and then you appreciate Him. So, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was in that very unfortunate position where he could not see beyond, but his good fortune was that he came across Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Now, of course, nobody comes across the Supreme Lord without the causeless mercy of the Supreme Lord. That is why we say it is the causeless mercy of the Lord. The Lord is showering His mercy upon us out of causelessness. He doesn't need a cause to give you. He just feels compassion towards living entity. So, He comes in all different ways to living entity. Sometimes, very, very fortunate, He will appear as Himself in front of you and interact with you. Other times, He will come in His different manifestations, especially in this day and age. He will come in His manifestation as the holy name. He will come as the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. And who has given this Hare Krishna Mantra to the universe? The Lord Himself. Because He came 500 years ago and He spread the holy name everywhere. So, we can either receive the Lord's mercy through His personal presence, or to His holy name or to the devotees. Now, devotees are the easiest way to connect with Krishna because we can relate to the person, we can see the person, we can interact with the person, and therefore that person will be easy to interact with and build up relationship and understanding. And of course, devotees have no other business but to give Krishna. As Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has very clearly stated, Yare dekho tare kaho Krishna upades. Wherever you go, whoever you meet, speak about Krishna. Now, if we are genuinely developing love for Krishna, then we would be very eager to tell everybody about Krishna. Now, I sometimes put this question to the devotees who I'm speaking to, and this includes myself also. It's not that I am outside of that circle. Is in a 24-hour day, from the moment you wake up in the morning till the moment you go to sleep at night, the waking hours, you may interact with many people. Of course, right now, due to Corona's pandemic situation, we don't interact with so many people, but we still interact with our little bubble. How many times we are so eager to speak about Krishna within ourselves? Maybe we think he or she is a devotee, so there's no point talking to them about Krishna. They already know Krishna. Better I can speak to someone who doesn't know about Krishna. But if you really understand Sadhu Sangha, the association of devotees, then we have to look to the six Goswamis. The six Goswamis of Vrindavan, highly, highly elevated Vaishnavas, fully absorbed in remembering Krishna, writing about Krishna, chanting the holy names. But whenever they get together, what do they do? They absorb in talking about Krishna. They relish. They want to hear more and more and more. It's not at all. You told this story about Krishna yesterday. You know? It's the same story. But of course, that is because we look at these pastimes of Krishna as magnificent in one sense, but at the same time, we do not see them, that these are real enactment of Krishna's pastimes. And when we talk about Krishna's pastime, Krishna is very much present in his pastimes. He's revealing himself in his pastime. We can actually connect with him. But we don't see that because we are having this barrier in front of us of sense gratification and Maya's curtain in front of us. Therefore, we do not relish it. But if we actually understand the transcendental nature of Krishna consciousness and Krishna Katha, we will be very, very eager to hear about him and speak about him. Just like Parikshit Maharaj, when he was sitting there with Sukadeva Goswami and he's asking questions to Parikshit Maharaj, and Parikshit Maharaj is very gracefully, Sukadeva Goswami is very gracefully describing the transcendental nature of Srimad Bhagavatam. And when he came to the point of describing the interactions between his fathers, I would say in one sense, or grandfathers, you know, Arjuna, Yudhishthira, Bhima, Nakul, Sahadev, and the rest of the Kuru dynasty. He is born in the family. So, of course, from childhood, he has heard from his mother and other relatives about the glories of his family, greatness of his family. It was that he was not familiar with it. He was very much intimate with his family. He knows his family, just like all of us. We may not know other people's family, but our own family we know. We all know our father and mother for sure. If you don't know your father and mother, you'll be in very big trouble. And then your uncles and aunties, your nieces and nephews, your cousins, You know them very well. And now if someone else tells you about your family member, no big deal, I know more about my family than you know more about my family. So here, Parikshit Maharaj is so eager, he's saying to you, Sukadeva Goswami, that please tell me more. He already knows about it, but because this is the transcendental nature of Krishna and his devotees, not ordinary, he's relishing it. He wants to enjoy the glories of all the devotees which are connected with Krishna. Similarly, our position should be like that. that we are hearing Krishna Katha, we are reading Krishna Katha, by the grace of His Srila Prabhupada, He has given us all this transcendental literature. We have access to this literature. We read this, I hope. And more and more we read, the more and more we get insight about different pastimes of the Lord and His devotees. But after getting that, how much eager are we to speak to someone about it? Unless until we develop that eagerness, then we should do introspection. Am I making advancement or am I just passing time and hopefully by some magic, one day morning I'll wake up and say, hey, I am fully realized personality. And you'll be jumping up and down with joy and dancing and saying, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. But up to that, until that happens, we have to practice bhakti. And if Krishna says that those who preach about my glories are very dear to me. So of course Krishna, the Supreme Lord Himself, saying, if you want to be very dear to me, speak about me. Why Krishna is saying that? Not because of some pride of arrogance that, hey, I'm the best. Go and tell everybody about my greatness. No. Krishna knows that when you speak about Him, the more and more you speak about Him, the more and more love for Him you will develop. More and more attachment you will develop for Him. Because that is one way of getting to know and making the bond very strong. All of us, in our friendship, the more we know the person, the deeper the bond is there. So sometimes a new person comes to the ashram and say, oh, very nice, thank you very much, you have come to the right place. And we make that person very welcomed and make that person wanted. But you don't have the deep relationship with that person until you start associating with that person, getting to know that person. And as this regular instruction says, that there are six relationships, revealing one's mind, revealing one's heart to other person, and then another person does the same to you. So there is exchange of the relationship between the two. And by knowing each other, the bond becomes stronger and stronger. So similarly, when we speak about Krishna, we are developing attachment for Him. We are developing love for Him. And we actually get to understand Krishna. The more and more you speak about Krishna, the more and you actually understand Krishna. Because every time you speak about Krishna, it may be the same pastime, but what is happening is that there is a cleansing of the heart takes place. The more and more you hear about Him, more and more you speak about Him, more and more cleansing takes part in the heart. And then the more and more cleansing takes, then the soul itself becomes its natural position, pure. Prabhupada says in the Bhagavad Gita, in one purport, says that by nature, the spirit soul is pure. But due to its association with the material energy, it becomes contaminated. And then it becomes overwhelmed by the desire to enjoy material facilities, material senses, and it forgets his eternal relationship. And that is why Prabhupada says, we have come to teach you what you have forgotten. What have you forgotten? You've forgotten your love for Krishna. But we have substituted our love for Krishna for the love of the material world. We think the material world is a wonderful place and we fully enjoy with our senses. But we know from experience that no matter how much you try to enjoy, you will never get 100% satisfaction. You say, fully satisfied now. Because material sense enjoyment is Prabhupada describing, it's like the fire and the fuel. The more and more fuel you put in the fire will burn more and more vigorously. And the more fuel gets in there, the more vigorous the fire becomes. And the fire becomes so vigorous and powerful that its demands are increasing. Give me more, give me more. And more you give, the more fire burns. The fire will never say that, okay, enough fuel, I'm fully satisfied. No, it always wants more. So our senses are like that. Therefore, we can control our senses. How? By Krishna Katha, by hearing about Krishna, by speaking about Krishna. If we indulge in this, then obviously our attachment and attraction for Krishna will definitely develop stronger. And we will not have any attraction towards anything else. And we will never find any difficulties in our spiritual journey. When we begin to feel some boredom in spiritual life, that means you know you're not developing that love for Krishna. Because you're not feeling the satisfaction of being with Krishna. And therefore, if you're not being satisfied with being with Krishna, then what do? You look for something else. Because the soul by nature is very active. And that active soul, when his activities are pertaining to Krishna, then you are in the right connection and you feel satisfaction. But if you are not with Krishna, then you have to do something else. So if you are not doing Krishna conscious activities, then you are doing non-Krishna conscious activities. And sometimes it is very easy to do non-Krishna conscious activities because we have tremendous experience of non-Krishna conscious activities, not only in this life, for many thousands of lives. So we have developed, we have developed this so much experience of non-Krishna conscious activities that we feel very comfortable with that. But then at some stage, by the causeless mercy of the Supreme Lord and His pure devotee, we are picked out of this suffering world. And He's saying, look, there is an alternative, this is much better. Come here. Come to the soothing rays of the lotus feet of Krishna and take shelter of Him. And as we begin to take shelter, we begin to actually appreciate that yes, Krishna conscious activities are actually wonderful and it is freeing me from the anxieties of material life. Anyway, so this is the process. And here, Gopinath Acharya is very much fixed in understanding the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That is why he gets upset, and then we'll go into the continuation of the story of how then Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya comes to realization, because he, as I said, his good fortune was the one that out of the causeless mercy of the Lord, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted service from him. Not only that, but in the previous verses we heard that after Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was unconscious in the temple of Lord Jagannath, he took him to his home. And then when he came to consciousness, he told Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya that you please take care of me now. Now, you know, the Supreme Lord is self-satisfied. He doesn't need anybody to take care of him. But out of his mercy, he allows us to take care of him. And he actually then puts himself in a position of that I'm helpless. Please help me. So, just like Krishna is having his wonderful pastimes with Mother Yashoda as a child, and Krishna is always acting as a helpless person. And Mother Yashoda is thinking that, yes, he's my child, and she's pampering him and feeding him and clothing him. Krishna is allowing that. Why? Because by doing that service, you develop again attraction and love for Krishna. So the Lord, out of his compassion, comes to you and says, here, I will act helpless. So that you feel some importance and feel that yes, I am serving, I am doing this. And Krishna allows us to do this personal service to Him, render service to Him, and through that we develop that love for Him. So Bhattacharya was in a very good fortunate position that one, the Lord Himself came there, second, wonderful devotees, associates of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu were also giving Him association. And we all know from Prabhupada's teachings that when we associate with devotees, the good qualities of the devotees rub into you. And more we associate with good quality devotees, all those good qualities will come into you. It doesn't mean that the person whose good qualities are there, these qualities will come into you and that person will be now devoid of good qualities. No. The more good qualities he dispenses, the more his qualities increases in power, stronger and stronger. And this is why Prabhupada recommends very much in his purports, when you read them, saying that whatever activities we do in Krishna consciousness, we must do them in association of devotees. Because when we do it in association of devotees, we get enthusiasm, encouragement, and also good qualities rub into us. If you are a solitude person somewhere in the middle of nowhere, and you're sitting there with your japa, I'm with Krishna. And you go, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. After some time, your chanting is going on, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram, Ram. And the mind is going everywhere. There's nobody there near you. You are in a solitude place, very peaceful, quiet place. But the mind will find everything in every place. And it will wander all over. But when you are with the devotees, then at least the devotee protection is there, the shield is there. That is why, you know, generally it is very nice to chant in the association of devotees. Because if we are falling asleep while chanting, the devotees will say, Hare Bol Prabhu. Oh, thank you. Hare Krishna. Otherwise, you'll be snoozing away. And then precious time is wasted and you don't chant around. And then you say, oh, I'm gone and I go to chant my rounds and I go to do my service. And then you're in anxiety that what do? You chant your rounds, do you do your service? And then you do your service, you cannot chant your round. And then late at night, 10:30, 11, oh, still got 3 rounds left. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. And then you're thinking, when am I going to finish the last round? So you're not actually hearing the holy names. What are you doing? Waiting for that last beat. Say, oh, thank God. Now I can go to sleep. But chanting is not a ritual. Chanting is something you want to do out of love. You know, you enjoy doing it. That's why you're doing it. Otherwise, you know, of course, in the beginning, as Prabhupada has mentioned in one purpose, saying, the spiritual practice is bitter like poison. But as you become free from your contamination and impurity manifests in the heart, then you actually develop love for Krishna and then you are actually enjoying and relishing the chanting. So, unless until we develop our attachment for chanting out of love for Krishna, then we'll just do it as a vow. Yes, I promised to chant 60 rounds, so that's why I have to do 60 rounds. One time, one disciple, Prabhupada, he was so happy, you know, he went to Prabhupada. He said, Prabhupada, I finished chanting all my rounds before Mangalati. Huh? So, chant more. And he thought Prabhupada would give him, you know, special blessings that, yes, very good, you finished your chanting before Mangalati. And he thought that he would get some blessings and glorification and appreciation. Yes, that's okay. Chant more. But see, so that is the understanding. Prabhupada doesn't say chant maximum 16 rounds. He's saying minimum requirement is 16 rounds. So of course, when we finish chanting our required rounds, as Prabhupada has given us, that in our fallen state, 16 rounds is the minimum. But if you finish that, then you have some service to render. You finish your service, then you have time. What do? You relax, you space out, you do nothing, and you do everything else but read and chant. So, unless we develop this understanding and attraction that, okay, I have time, let me chant one extra round, or I have some time, let me open up the book and read Bhagavatam, read Chaitanya Charitamrita, read Bhagavad Gita, read any of the books. 80 different pieces of literature are there by grace of Srila Prabhupada, all available to us. We have a library full of books downstairs here. Anytime you can go in there and pick one book and read, very easy to get access to books. So, we should take full advantage of our good fortune and develop this attraction. And as I said, the more and more we speak about Krishna, even among ourselves, the more and more enthusiastic we become in our practice of spiritual life, and more we will feel happily situated, that you don't want to go anywhere else. You just want to stay with the associated devotees and simply perform the transcendental activities, and nothing else matters. This is it. And I say right now, by the grace of Mr. Corona, we are put in a position where we have to think, this could be my last day. If tomorrow I could be gone, I have to discard this body because it's of no use anymore. It's infected by all kinds of junk in it. I have to give up. It's like, you know, everybody is happy. Mr. Boris Johnson announced on Monday that Christmas is coming government is officially creating a special 5-day celebration of Christmas. 6 families can come together and celebrate the joy of Christmas. But yesterday, bombshell comes. No more Christmas. Everybody under tier 4 has said, what is tier 4? Tier 1, tier 2, tier 3, we knew about. But all of a sudden, out of the blue, he just picks out tier 4 and says, this is it. Total lockdown. No movement. No Christmas. Why? Because his special advisors are saying that there is a kind of virus which is mutated, which is spreading even faster, 70% faster than the other virus. So the chances of getting it is even more. How much truth is in that is, I don't know. Maybe sometimes speculation is there. But still, Krishna's given us intelligence. We said we have to protect ourselves and engage in Krishna's service. At least we are very fortunate that we have this transcendental shelter of Sri Radha Gopalananda at Bakunara Manor in our little bubble. And we have access to the lordships early in the morning. We can come and see the Lord, chant and dance in front of it. Then later on, we get in different services, and then we get wonderful prasada. Everything is taken care of without any anxieties. Outside there, people are in full of anxieties and fear. In here, we don't have fear. Why? Because by the grace of Sri Radha Gopalananda, they have created a practical bubble for us. And this bubble is not just material bubble, preventing only the corona coming in, but it's preventing maya coming in. And it is even more dangerous because corona you can get some treatment. Maya you cannot get treatment. So take this advantage very seriously that we have been blessed by this, and we should take, as I said, full advantage of this situation and serve Krishna very nicely. And by serving Krishna very nicely, he becomes pleased, and he becomes more and more pleased. And yet, he reciprocates with us, and we also get the joy of Krishna consciousness. I want to take a few minutes now to glorify my spiritual master. Today it is the Vyasa Puja of His Holiness Bhakti Swarup Damodara Swami. And also today is the auspicious day of Udan Shasti. I don't know if you are familiar with Udan Shasti. Udan Shasti is the 6th day of the waning moon, I think, the dark moon. So we just had Amavasya, it's dark moon, new moon on Monday, and today is the 6th day leading up to Ekadashi and then Purnima. So on the 6th day of this time of the year, or this particular month, Lord Jagannath receives new clothing, special clothing, which is made with special ceremony, and then it is starched, so it's quite stiff. That is a ceremony which is going on since Lord Jagannath was established in Puri. So it's a very auspicious, very big ceremony. And thousands of people would go today to Jagannath Puri for that unique darshan. Unfortunately, Lord Jagannath has prevented anybody going into the temple. Although we say it is the government and the authorities who have prevented people going inside, but nothing can happen without a sanction of the Lord. But the Lord is very kind that when you go to Jagannath Puri, in the front of the gate, the Narsingh Dwar, you can see from the gate from outside what is called Patita Pavan Jagannath, right on the right hand side facing the temple. And he gives darshan. So today is a very special day. Hundreds of thousands of people, as I said, would go to Puri for darshan. And it's an auspicious day on this day. His Holiness Bhakti Swarup Damodara Maharaj was born. So, we can have a small video presentation about the slides. And Kartik Chandra Prabhu, a disciple of His Holiness Radhana Swami, has written very nice Astika prayers. I requested him that you go through the pastimes of Srila Sri Padma Maharaj and write a very nice Astika prayers in the glorification of him. So, he did this very nicely. So I'd like to present that for all the Vaishnavas here to seek the blessings. Those blessings of the Vaishnavas is what we are crying for. The more and more blessings we get of Vaishnavas, then more and more our spiritual life becomes enlightened. So it's a small 5-minute presentation, and then I will read the translation, and then we'll conclude the class today. Okay, before we see, I'd like to also thank Sam Prabhu and Abhay Prabhu, who are the singers. And they are singing this so beautifully that I sent this to all my God brothers and God sisters in America, in Europe, in India, in Indonesia, and they were all joyous about this. And already in Bali, they are playing this recording everywhere. So, and on Facebook, it's all there, and somebody's going to upload in YouTube. I hope it goes viral. And then Abhay and Sam Prabhu will become famous as the two transcendental singers from Buckingham Manor. So, thank you very much, Prabhus.
Namodara Shiva Kripa Vala Nitya Mani Yomani Desha Shota Kalyana Kari Karuna Samodra Shri Patpado Satatam Chobande Gaura Sankirtana Kananate Shri Asari Raja Sapana Kaye Vale Hirata Jankato Pirata Shri Padpado Satata Chobande Daya Kraje Neva Gurum Sadeve Pashchatya Desham Paja Bhakta Bhagyam Teno Dadishtva Tata Desha Diksham Shri Padpado Satatam Chobande Sarvasya Mitram Satru Sadhukami Notasya Sakruta Kadapya Bhudva Vijnani Nam Bhagavatasya Dhruta Shri Padpado Satatam Chobande Shri Kshamadat Ashta Samatra Bhuvai Acharya Shiksham Vritam Antya Shodra Shri Bhakti Vedanta Sabhati Dhata Shri Padpado Satatam Chobande Samarya Namyantrikanamikanam Vishvepa Purnam Shubhaya Chitaya Sheshadri Mule Bhavanasya Neta Shri Padpado Satatam Chobande Padnam Savijyanamanukrahartam Tenakarod Rangani Ketanamyat Shiratikaya Mani Mandirantam Shri Padpado Satatam Chobande Yatmat Swarupam Tatimuniragam Chaitanya Tejasya Sadarasita Tatvadvikara Prabhupadadaka Shri Padpado Satatam Chobande Vaijnanika Sataka Bhakta Varya Sarushya Duta Prabhupada Yodho Tathasya Nisto Nitaram Munutra Shiva Seva Dati Me Bhayache Damodara Seva Kripa Palambi Vidyamane Yomane Desha Suta Kalyana Kari Karuna Samudra Shri Padpado Satatam Chobande Hare Krishna Krishna
Very happy Mother Vishakha is here, and she spent her early times in Los Angeles. Am I right? And Bhaktisivrindavana Maharaj also, he spent a lot of time in Los Angeles. So I would like to request her, maybe she can say some interactions she had with Maharaj.
Thank you so much for this presentation to remind us of Maharaj and his wonderful service to Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada was so grateful that he developed the Bhaktivedanta Institute. It was so important to Prabhupada to have the intelligent class of men come forward and explain Krishna consciousness so that intelligent non-devotees could appreciate it. And Bhakti Sivadamana Maharaj was at the forefront of that effort. Prabhupada had so many interactions with him. One that I personally had with him was in actually Atlanta. He was there with some other early, very scholarly devotees, and they were studying the soul. As it said, the soul is 1/10,000th the tip of a hair. And I asked him about that, and he said, actually, the tip of the hair, they have different dimensions. So when you take a hair, 1/10,000th of that tip will be a slightly different from 1/10,000th another here, which is something I had never thought about. So that was a fascinating observation of his. But he has many wonderful books that he wrote, and he engaged so many scholars outside in hearing the Krishna conscious philosophy in a very logical, convincing way. And still Bhaktivedanta Institute is going on today. They have a center in Gainesville, Florida.
Yeah,
so carrying on his legacy for the pleasure of Srila Prabhupada. So we're all very indebted to him. And we thank you for being his loyal representative, his loyal disciple.
Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. So I'll quickly read the translation of the song. It's basically the song which is written by Patichandra Prabhu. I gave him the biography of Sivadamana Maharaj, and then he meditated on that, and then he worked out the exact meter of Sanskrit, and he said this is done within the composition of like the Mangalarti prayers, Samsara prayers, and it is very, very sweetly done. And I was, when I heard it first time, I got goosebumps on my body, like, wow. He's captured the essence of Maharaj's life. So the first verse, he's saying, solely dependent on the mercy of Lord Damodar, the jewel of transcendental knowledge, appeared in the jewel land of Manipur. He is the ocean of compassion and ever well-wisher. I continuously pay my humble obeisances unto the lotus feet of Srila Sripad Bhaktisur Damodar Swami. Of course, this first verse is very, very nicely composed, because I was very happy to read this. He's saying that he was solely dependent on Damodar. Now, Sipat Maharaj, when he was born in a village just outside Imphal, at a very young age, he lost his father. So he was the only young man around age of 12 to take care of his family and that his family plot of land. And you can imagine that way back in the 1947, around 47-ish, you know, the World War had just finished. India was freshly given independent. Northeast of India was very much deprived of facilities. And in this, he brought up, took care of his family. At the same time, he was studying. And then later on, after finishing, say, you know, high school or that level, he came to Calcutta by the assistance of his uncle and others. And in Calcutta, he studied in the University of Calcutta and got a degree in organic chemistry. So you can imagine that he was fully dependent on Krishna. And Maharaj used to tell us that his family was very strong Gaudiya Vaishnavas. Now, Gaudiya Vaishnavism, just a quick history, is that Manipur in the old days was a kingdom by itself, and there is some mention in the Mahabharata also. Arjuna went there and married one of the princesses of that land. And later on, during the time of Narottam Das Thakur, he was one of the leading preachers of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Sankirtan movement. And he, along with his disciple, Santidas, actually I think Narottam Das Thakur didn't go, but Santidas went to Manipur and met the king there, King Bhagichandra. And he preached to the king. And the king was so much overwhelmed by the philosophy of Bhagavatam that he declared in his kingdom that from this day onwards, this kingdom is going to become Vaishnava kingdom. Everybody who stays in my kingdom must follow and worship Govinda. No one else. And if you don't like that, then in my kingdom on the outskirts, there are mountains. You can go there and practice whatever form of worship or whatever you want to do there. But within the kingdom of Manipur, all of them become Vaishnavas. Even to date, everybody is there following Vaishnava culture taught by the followers of Narottam Das Thakur. All the songs they sing, basically Narottam Das Thakur songs. And I went there for a lot of time in Manipur with Maharaj. And I went all crisscrossing in different villages and different parts of Manipur. And I don't find any demigod temples there. There's no demigods at all. Only Radha Govinda, Jagannath and Mahaprabhu. Nothing else. But of course, later on, some corruption came in the people's minds. And now mostly Manipuri Vaishnavas are kind of ritualistics. So Prabhupada was very much interested, and he preached to Srodhamana Maharaj that you are from that part of the land, you build a very nice temple and revive this Krishna consciousness, and Manipur can become the first Vaishnava state in the spirit of Gaudiya Vaishnava tradition and revive that culture. So, and his parents named him Tudor Damodar Singh. His name was Damodar. Later on, when he met Prabhupada, Prabhupada gave him name Sarup Damodar. Now, Sarup Damodar is a very appropriate name for him, because there is Sarup Damodar, who is a very intimate associate of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, one who loves Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu so much that he would serve him very nicely. And from my association with Srila Sripad Maharaj, is that he also developed similar attachment and attraction to serve Srila Prabhupada. Just like Sarup Damodar had for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, this Sarup Damodar had relationship with Prabhupada, which was the representative of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Then the next verse. That even as a child, he was naturally attracted to singing and dancing the Sankirtan of Lord Gauranga, Nath Kirtan. So this Nath Kirtan is a tradition in Manipur, which is singing mostly glorification of Lord Gauranga Mahaprabhu. And relishing the Ras Lila performance while being naturally detached from material world, he continuously pay my humble obeisances to the lotus feet of Srila Sripad Bhakti Srodhamana Swami. The third verse, through the insistence of his friend Ramananda Rai Prabhu, he met his spiritual master after instructing, "You are a devotee of Lord, therefore you must share your good fortune, bhakti, with the Western countries." Srila Prabhupada initiated him. I continuously pay my respects to Bhakti Srodhamana Maharaj. So again, it's a very interesting story that
This Ramananda Rai was initiated by Srila Prabhupada, and he happened to be staying in the same apartment as Sripad Maharaj. And he would talk to him about this wonderful Vaishnava, saintly person, he's spreading Krishna consciousness and talking about Lord Gauranga Mahaprabhu. And of course, Sripad Maharaj and Ramananda Rai was also talking about Mahaprabhu according to the Manipur culture of understanding Lord Gauranga. So Ramananda Rai said, look, why don't you come and see this great saintly person? And Sripad Maharaj said, yes, one day. And he kept on pushing and pushing and pushing, and after some days or some months, Ramananda Rai got really angry and said, look, if you don't come to meet this saintly person now, I'm going to leave you. So Sripad said, no, I cannot miss the good Vaishnava association, especially in the 60s, early 70s in America. To find a Vaishnava culture, especially when you have come to America, not born in an American culture, it is very difficult to find Vaishnava association. And once you find, you don't want to lose it because that is your life and soul. So he went to Los Angeles Temple and met Prabhupada there. And he was right at the back of the corridor, very humbly sitting there. And Prabhupada noticed him immediately. Now, you see, Prabhupada is not an ordinary personality. He can see right through your heart. He sees who you are. And therefore, Prabhupada immediately said, you should take up this mission. And of course, Maharaj told you that when he first time saw Prabhupada, his eyes got big and his heart started populating. He said, he is my real father. Because remember, he lost his father at a very young age. And when he saw Prabhupada, he is my real father. And immediately he took Prabhupada's shelter and then followed Prabhupada. And then of course Prabhupada instructed him to preach as a scientist, because he was a PhD in science. And then of course Madhavi Sagar very nicely said that how Prabhupada was encouraging and training him to establish Bhaktivinoda Institute to preach. And Prabhupada said, this Bhaktivinoda Institute is the scientific wing of ISKCON to preach this message of Bhagavad Dharma to the scientific world. And of course, after his departure, somewhat Bhaktivinoda Institute fell apart, and there were not some serious devotees who could take up. But now I'm hearing that in Alachua, Gainesville actually, Brahmatirtha Prabhu, he has taken up this mission very strongly, and they are establishing this now. Very big preaching sector there for BI. So the fourth verse, the translation is, he was everyone's friend. He who desired he desired everyone's welfare. No one was ever his enemy. He was an ambassador of Bhagavad Dharma to the scientific community. So those who had fortunate to meet him, of course I don't think any of you had except Mother Vishaka here. And I had the good fortune to be with him for many years. And he was always friendly with everyone. Young and old, he would develop friendship with everyone. He developed so much friendship with the scientific world that one very prominent Nobel laureate was celebrating his 90th birthday in San Francisco. And he had organized a big gathering of all the Nobel laureates. Not only the Nobel laureates were invited to that function. The only one who was not a Nobel laureate was Sripad Maharaj, because he had very good friendship with his scientist, Nobel laureate. And they looked upon him as one of the one of their own, because he was coming from a scientific background. All, at the same time, he was a saintly person. And when he left his body in 2006, we got a letter from all these Nobel laureates, and they were saying, we are so saddened. A lot of them expressed that they were crying at the loss of him, because they had developed such an attachment for him. And of course, by his preaching, there's a lot of changes now coming in the scientific world. A lot of people are thinking about understanding consciousness. In the past, the consciousness was just some unimportant subject. Right now, in the scientific world,
consciousness is a very important subject which has been discussed. This is the four efforts of Bhaktisarupa Gamana Maharaj. He received personal instructions from his spiritual master throughout the 8 years of his association with him. He was indeed the last recipient of nectar-like instructions from Srila Prabhupada, the founder acharya of ISKCON. He established Bhaktivinoda Institute. So, in the last days in 1977, and a lot of Prabhupada's disciples were there in Vrindavan and feeling a lot of pain in the heart to see Prabhupada's condition, and they would serve Prabhupada and sit with him, do soft kirtans. But at night, after midnight, most of them are so tired, they would go to sleep. And the only person who would take the midnight shift from midnight till 4 o'clock in the morning is Sripad Maharaj. And he would sit with Prabhupada. And Prabhupada, in his last few weeks, was never sleeping. His eyes were closed, but he would be awake. And every few moments, he would say, his servant is there. Are you there? And then he would ask, don't think I'm sleeping, I'm awake. And then he would say, you read this or you chant softly. And then in the middle of the night, around 1 o'clock, Prabhupada would call out for Sripad Maharaj and say, Sarup Damodar, yes, Prabhupada, I'm here. He said, so, I want you to defeat me. I am a scientist. And then Prabhupada would present scientific arguments against Krishna. And say, now you defeat me. Of course, Sripada cannot defeat Prabhupada. Because Prabhupada was presenting such arguments that he cannot defeat him. And then, of course, there was back and forth. They said, now you present scientifically and I will present as a devotee and I will defeat you. So there was interaction going on and very sweet exchanges were taking place. And of course, later on, Maharaj told me that Prabhupada was personally taking care to instruct him, look, this mission is very important. Don't take it lightly. Take this as your life mission and preach this message so that the world will become a better place. So he was a recipient of wonderful blessings of Srila Prabhupada. Then in October of 1977, Prabhupada knew very well that he's going to depart very soon. He said, before I go, I want you to arrange a scientific conference. And in a short time, Maharaj went to Delhi, different universities in different cities nearby, and gathered some prominent scientists and brought them to Vrindavan, and they had a 3-day conference there. And every day, Maharaj would go to Prabhupada and then give report. And Prabhupada said, yes, that's very nice. Do this, improve. And Prabhupada would instruct him. And then, final instruction was that you have many of these world scientific conferences around the world to establish the Siddhanta of Gaudiya Vaishnava philosophy. So in 1986, the first World Congress was established in Bombay. It was entitled the first World Congress of the Synthesis of Science and Religion, was inaugurated under his auspicious direction. He directed the building of palatial temple. Of course, early on, Prabhupada told him to build a temple. So he built a very beautiful Mani Mandir, or Temple of Jewels, in Imphal, which is housing now Sri Radha Krishna Chandra, Sri Jagannath Balarama Subhadra, and Sri Gaunitai. And hopefully, this temple will now become the beacon of Krishna consciousness in that part of the world. And later on, when he was preaching in Tirupati, the Tirupati temple trust was going to give him land on the hill. Then they decided, no, better you have your separate thing. So at the bottom of the hill, they gave a nice property, very prominent property, and that is where he established the first temple of Radha Govindji, ISKCON temple in Tirupati. And then later on, under the guidance of His Holiness Jayapataka Maharaj and his disciples, they built what the temple is there now. So that was his service there. And two temples he established for preaching Krishna consciousness in prominent places, Imphal and in Tirupati. Then the seventh verse is talking about the books, because Prabhupada told him, you write scientific books because you present this Bhagavad culture
through the science. And the scientists will more appreciate scientific book rather than the Bhagavatam, because their whole mindset is just science and science and science. They think science is gone. So he established this, and he wrote many books, and he established one journal called Savijnana. Savijnana was a journal of the Bhaktivinoda Institute. At the same time, Prabhupada told him, take the Manipuri cultural presentation around the world. So he established one group called Ranganiketan, Manipuri dance troupe. And he took them all over the world. He came here in the Bhaktivinoda Manor in 1990. And they were staying where the ladies are staying now, on the top of the kitchen. And they performed some performance here. And he took it all over the world and established this Manipuri cultural dance. So that way, he was pleasing Srila Prabhupada and spreading and distributing the mercy of Srimati Radharani. Just as Lord Chaitanya's deep affection for Srila Sarup Damodar is famous, similarly, Srila Prabhupada's affection for Bhakti Sarup Damodar is also well known. So again, just to emphasize that Srila Prabhupada really loved him very much and gave a lot of attention to him. Not that he didn't appreciate the other disciples, but he was very, very expert in nurturing individual disciples, preparing them for a particular mission to establish ISKCON worldwide. So, of course, Prabhupada trained many other disciples for different aspects of Krishna consciousness, and scientific preaching was given to Srila Sripad Maharaj. And if you look at the set of books, which is called conversation books, I think there's 36 books. Almost 60% of those conversations are between Prabhupada and Sripad Maharaj. The final last translation is, he's a Vaishnava scientist, best among the transcendental devotees of the Lord, a great saint, a great ambassador of Bhagavad Dharma, and a Srila Prabhupada soldier who eternally resides in Radha Kund in his samadhi. So I prayed to him and begged him that please, let me receive a drop of your mercy so that I can serve you just as you serve your master, Srila Prabhupada. So on that note, I will conclude. Thank you very much that I was given this opportunity to speak about Sripad Maharaj in the class. Because I'm the only disciple here in the manor. And the only other disciple is Paramdham Prabhu. He is unfortunately recovering from his hernia operation. And we have a wonderful third disciple. He is in Radhalananishwara, Vimala Mataji. So she is very busy serving Jagannath there. But still, it is not the number of disciples who are here. I think it is the mood of appreciating your Vaishnava which is more important. So I thank you all very much for giving this opportunity for me to at least say some words of glorification towards my spiritual master and make this Vyasa Puja meaningful to me. Thank you very much, Hare Krishna. Yeah, all glory to Srila Prabhupada.
Okay, it was the first time. Actually, you know, there were tears coming from my eyes. You know, but he was a wonderful singer of Hare Krishna and bhajans. And he's got some wonderful CDs that were out then, so I can really recommend them if you're on YouTube. Yeah, just to hear his kirtan is just something else. It's definitely out of this world. So thank you for the opportunity to speak about it.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Jai
Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srimad Maharaj ki jai. Gaur Bhakta Vrinda ki jai. Jai Gaur Prabhu Nandai.